is David Lichtenstein, and welcome to the Yeshiva Shalmaila. What a fantastic time of the year, time of Geula, Parshas HaChodesh. So we thought we would do a show about Pesach, and we have really some wonderful guests. We have Hagoyen, Reb David Cohn, who's going to give us a very thoughtful word about the Haggadah. And then we're going to be talking about Taruvah's Chametz. Does your mascara really need a Hechsha? Do you think you ever see a dog eating mascara? What about all these medicines that need Hechsha? Like, did you ever see a dog eat a bowl of aspirins? Is it Roy Lachilas Kelev? We'll be speaking to the Goyen Rav Gershon Best, the Pesach from L.A. He's written much about it. I think the guidelines to Hechsherim on Pesach. It's a lively conversation. And we'll have Rav David Haber from the Star K to speak about this. And then we will speak about machine matzah. Is it a good or a bad thing? What here they say, it's much more kasha. There's no human error. Machines don't make error, notwithstanding the Uber crash this week. But humans make many more errors than people do. So we will have Hagoyen Rav Baruch Hirschfeld from Cleveland, and Rav Yosef Weiner, the Dayan of Cleveland, and from a big Hasheva Rav here from Muncie, Hagoyen Rav Yosef Weiner will be speaking about that. And then we will finish off something that's Shalema Inyan. Reb Nachum Eisenstein had spoken a number of weeks ago about birth control and family planning. He said he didn't feel like he laid it out in the appropriate way, and he wanted the opportunity to clarify it, and we have great respect for him. So we're going to have on Reb Herschel Schechter laying out his opinion, and Reb Nachum Eisenstein saying the way he was makabel from his Rebbes. That will be a sidebar afterwards about family planning. Now, before we begin, I do want to ask a question. I have such an incredible, brilliant group of compatriots here, and I get so many answers. And by the way, now you can get all the voicemails. Even if you listen on phone, there's going to be a feature where you can listen. And trust me, there's a lot. On every program, last one, we probably had 100 voicemails from some really outstanding Talmudei Chachamim, Litvish, Hasidish, etc. Modern North. We get the whole, everybody who's Shoyim Shabbos, who's a Shoyim Torah Mitzvah, we get here. So you can now listen when you call in. You can hear your own messages, or you can hear others. We screen very little of it. So we allow almost everybody on, as long as it's polite, that's the only thing. So, but I want to ask my brilliant compatriots, do you know that in many communities, they don't even allow burning in the backyard? They make these communal bonfires. I think Lakewood has an ordinance against it. I guess there was just fires going up all over, and fires are dangerous, right? And so I have a question to all the people who live in Borough Park, Flatbush, Williamsburg, Lakewood, Muncie, etc., who use these communal fires. I have a question for you. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like Reb Meir, you can get rid of chametz any way you want. Get it out of your house. The fires are l'ruach, zarka l'yam. Just get rid of it. Get rid of the bed. Reb Yehuda argues famously. What does Reb Yehuda say? Ein bir chametz ala shreifa. So I have a question. And how do we put the fires in Paskin, like Reb Meir? But the Ramah says our minig is to burn it, which is why we go through all this bother. And the Mishnah Berurah brings that why do we do that? Because many, many Paiskim don't hold like the Beis Shai. They Paskim that Eber Chametz Ol Sreifa, the Taz, the Grud, 10 more. So that's why we burn them. So I have a question for you. If you burn it in your backyard, you have a little fire, you throw in a few bagels. If your wife comes out, she says, I'm hungry, can you get me a bagel? You stick a stick in, you pull it out, you give it, okay. In these huge bonfires, you can't get within 10 feet of them. There's 50, there could be 500 other people burning their chametz. It's a huge fire. You can't get close to it. Once you throw it in, it's not yours anymore. Why? Because the halacha is, the Gemara in Bab Metzia says on Daf Chav Beis, there's a concept of avuda mimenu mikaladam. If you take anything you own, a chair, a table, a bag of bagels, and you throw it into a hurricane, a tornado, an ocean, it's yours, it's gone, it's Hefker. You could scream, it's mine. Anybody who jumps into the ocean and swims and gets it, they can grab it because it's avuda mimenu mikol adam. It's like zutei shel yam, a raging sea. When you throw it into that big bonfire, where there's even a sign, don't enter, and there's a guy standing there screaming, and there's hundreds, you can't get it anymore. So my question is, the minute you throw it in, it becomes Hefker. Where's the Sreifa? Afterwards, on something that's Hefker. So how are you Makayim mitzvahs beer chametz? The chametz that's burnt is not your chametz anymore, because you don't control it. So this is a question I lay out there for all the people who use these bonfires, and I'm not chas v'shalom trying to say you're not Makayim beer chametz, but we like to create a rischa deraisa, and there are terutzim to this, some very lumdisha possibilities. So I want to lay it out there. Okay, that's just the ha'ara, because we're Shabbos HaGadol, etc. We're going to go to the riddle, but before we go to the riddle, I do always like to say that halacha, hashkafa, machshava, it's all one Torah. And this machlekes of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir is not some ancient machlekes of Ein Bir Chametz El Esreifel B'chol Davar. And I think it's a very societal machlekes. Rabbi Meir says, you have something bad, get it out, just get rid of it. Don't look weiter, throw it in the ocean, the yam, the fire, the ruach, blah, 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 blah. Just get it out, okay. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Ein Bir Chametz El Esreifel. We make a big bonfire, we bring everybody around, it's an event, shall we? When it comes to Biyarta, Rami Kirbecha. And that's a debate that rages in current circles. You have a molester in your community, right? A lot of people are happy. Just, you know, this molester, we threw him out of the yeshiva. He's done. There's a very famous molester. Every time I go to a chasana, he's dancing in the middle for Flatbush and Baruch Park. I'm outraged that people don't have a little more of Ein Bir Chametz El Esreifel about it, right? What's their attitude? He's out of the yeshiva. He's not going to damage. I know Mandruids went to Ger. Their attitude is, look, he can't damage anybody. This lady, Leah Malka Leifa, they sent everybody to Ger. Their attitude is just cover it up. It's, he's no. But there's another Bahalach, it's called Ein Bir Chametz El Esreifel. You know what Ein Bir Chametz El Esreifel? As a community, we have to have outrage. We have to make a circle. We have to say Gdarm, and we say, you can't destroy our children. You can't cause them to commit suicide. You can't have their parents, more parents, crying and weeping. And we don't. Biyartar HaMikabechas Ein Bir Chametz El Esreifel. I think that the Machlekes, Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, is very Negeil Halacha today. And our Minig is Zakter Ramo. We hold like Reb Yehuda. It's Bisreifa. And somebody like that shouldn't dance in the middle by weddings and shouldn't be communities protecting them. This was a political vert. Now, I don't think that necessarily our sponsor may be in agreement. It's my hargusha. Okay, let's go to the weekly riddle. Okay, so here's the riddle. What does it say in the beginning of Parshas Vayera? That Malachim, Avram Avinu's feeding the Malachim, feeding them tongue and all the other goodies, right? And when did this happen? The first day of Pesach. So Chachamim brings ready all the Medrashim. So I have a question for you. We know Avram Avinu was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. Talacha is Ein Mevash Del Akum B'Shabbos. You're not allowed to cook for Shabbos for an Akum. So how could he tell Sarah, Lushi Vasi Ugais, make Ugais for the Malachim, who he thought were Arabs, Ein Mevashtim La'akum B'Shabbos. That is the riddle of the week. That, and if anybody has a way to explain how these great Gehillas Kedoshis are doing Bir Chametz, I look forward to hearing your answers. And again, you can always get them online, all the calls, and now you can get them on the phone line too. Before we go to our wonderful guests, I want to say one vart on Pesach, and I think it's maybe the most fabulous vart you'll hear this year, by humble opinion. It's a new vart, and it's not drush. I know there's a lot of things we say inspirational. For once, we're going to go the litvish way. That's really, I think, it's emes lamita shel Torah. And that is two questions. I'll ask you three. It's called the Seder. Did you ever see anything more disorganized than it? I mean, you look at Shulchan Aruch, it's one halacha after the other. It looks like somebody took a whole bunch of Maamari Chazal, shook them around in a paper bag, poured them out on the table, and made a Seder out of it. You skip from one thing, Lefichach, to this, to Mises, to Rebbe Lezer ben Azariah, then we go to Arba Bonim. What did Arba Bonim coming in over here? it doesn't seem Kisidrei. And let me ask you another question. There's four parshas in the Torah that talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, Shmais, Va'era, Bay, B'Shalach, combined almost 500 psukim. 500 psukim. Where do we darsh the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Haggadah from? From six psukim, not in Shmais, not in Va'era, by B'Shalach, in Parshas Kisavai, by Havas Bikurim. What does it say over there? V'yanisava, Martel, V'yashem, Alekecha, Arami Yavid Avi Vayerid Mitzrayim of Ayagasham Se Marsham Go Atsum Varav Yerei Son of My Mitzrayim. They took six psukim from Kisavai to make that God around it. It's absurd. And the last question is, it's not such a strong question. This is a really strong question. I tell you, 40 years I struggled with this. And the last question is, why is it called Haggadah? It should be called Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So I found something fantastic in an old Haggadah of the Malbim, which I couldn't find. I looked down at Yitzhak Chacham until we found it in a reprint. He says an amazing thing. It's a gift. Somebody showed it to me. And I share it with you, a gift, right, from my Chavrus Rabbi Yitzhak to all of Klal Yisrael. It says an amazing thing. He says, why do we say Yitzias Mitzrayim by now? What's the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? Where do we learn it from? We learn it from the Pasuk. V'igadata lebincha b'yayim ahu leimar. Bavarzeh asa Hashem li b'tesi Mitzrayim. That's what you say, the mitzvah Haggadah. So Malm says the entire Haggadah, the not seeming Seder is based on this. And let me just walk you through it step by step. V'igadata. It starts with the question, son asks. We go, you give him a short answer, and then it starts Maisa. What is Maisa? Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yeshua ben Azariah, Rabbi Tarfin, Rabbi Lazar. What's going on here? He says, who is the you? V'igadata. You should say, me? I'm not me. I learned in the best yeshivas in the world. I was a masmer. I don't know about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Do I look stupid to you? He says, "Nachanu v'lu kulanu hachanim, kulanu nevayim, kulanu zkenim, kulanu yedim es hatayra." He got it. Yes, it's on you. First thing. Then it goes Baruch Hamakim. What's put Baruch Hamakim after the story? He says, "Lebincha." He got it. Lebincha. Who can I get arba banim dibra tayra? Right? And it goes through, because you're going to say, my son? Do you know who my son is? My kids. My kid went here. He says, no, can I get that? Lebincha, any type of son. A chacham, a rasha, a tam, a sheni edea, an interested kid, a disinterested kid, a depressed kid, a happy kid, the best boy in the yeshiva, the worst boy. Lebincha. Bayayimahu, what's the next thing? Right? What does it say after that? It starts, v'gadata lebincha bayayimahu. The next immediate passage, you have to say she'eni yedei lishol, is b'yayimahu is yachol merish chaydish. When is the yayimahu? Maybe it's Shabbos HaGadol. Maybe it's b'yayimahu, yachol merish chaydish, Shabbat leimer. Leimer. The word leimer means l'olam yilmei talmidei b'derech tzara, succinct. No, I'm sorry. Your four sons are sitting at the table. It's leimer. They don't want to hear 500 psukim of breishish mice. They don't want to hear it. So we take six psukim, and what do? Tseyu lamad mabike shlavan arami. They darshan those six psukim for the next 5-10 pages of the Haggadah. Right? And then what do we say? After that, v'gadata labin chavyemu lemer, bavur zeh. Right, we finish the lemer. What is bavur zeh? Bavur pesach, matzah, marzeh. These Bavar Zeh Asa Hashem Li B'Tzeisim Yisrayim. So then it goes to the Bavar Zeh. What finishes right after the Bavar Zeh? Again, makes no sense if you don't have the Malbim. B'chol Darva Dar Chayavadam. It's a beautiful tefillah. V'Saltus Harayinda. What's it coming in here? Bavar Zeh Asa Hashem Li. What does Li mean? Not to my grandparents. Lo Yisav Yiseinu B'Lvad. L'Af Yisanu Goal Imoem. L'Fichach Anachdu Chayavim Lahidais. Asa Hashem Li. And then the last thing is, everybody asks, why do they split Howl? Half here, half there. It's like, the Baal has nothing to do with splitting Howl. You're not saying this alt Howl. You just said, B'tseis Yim Mitzrayim. So we have to say, B'tseis Yisrael Mitzrayim. So when we take the Haggadah and we shtel it out on that Pasuk, it's Mamash Kemin Chayma. It's not at all random. It's absolutely beautiful and fits it perfectly. I think this is the best verse I heard on the Haggadah in many years, and I'm happy to share it with you. Okay, let's go. Erev Shabbos HaGadol to our wonderful guests.
Let's listen now to the wonderful Pesach message from Hagoyin Harav Reb David Cohn. Pesach is coming. We're by the Seder. There's so many different messages. What's the message of the Seder?
I would say as follows. I believe it's really a machlokas in the Gemara. It's Leil Geula. That's what the concept of Pesach is all about. HaChaydesh is Alechem, because it's, why do we start from Nisan? Because it's Chaydesh HaGeula. Let's define Geula. And there's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel in Pesachim Kufta Zayin Amid Aleph. What's the essence of Maschul b'gnusu mesayim b'shvach, that the Mishnah says that we start from something which is negative and we end up with something that's positive, that we appreciate what Hashem gave us. So Rav says that the correct nusach of maschu b'gnus and asayim b'shvach is mitchilo ivdei avaydesorai avayseinu v'akshech kervonu v'amokam avaydosai. Shmuel says it's avodam ayinu and v'yotzienu. And I believe that the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel is a machlokas that they have in Sanhedrin Sadek Zayin Amid Beis to define what Geul is. Over there is a machlokas when Mashiach is coming. That Rav says that Kolu Kolakitzen, the Zman that Mashiach could come already arrived in the time of Rav. All we need is tshuva. And Shmuel says, "Dai lovely as Bavele," whatever it means, it's interpreted to mean we went through enough. You don't need shuvah for Mashiach to come. And the Gemara says it's also a machlekes tanoim, and each one throws psukim at the other one until the Gemara says shosak Rabbeleza, which most Rishonim would interpret to mean he gave up. I don't have an answer to your kasha, Rabbi Yeshua. And Rav and Shmuel argue in the same way. What is the machlokes? I believe that the interpretation is that according to Shmuel, Geula means that the shibud, hagolius, is no longer on us. No one is coercing us to do anything we don't want. That's what Geula means. So it's the geulas haguf. No one is on my back. I'm a free person. And therefore, we went through enough yesurim that we should be zeicha to this geula. According to Rav, geula is a relationship, that if a person doesn't have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he can't be considered a redeemed person. And that's why you must have tshuva. And what I am saying now, according to Rav, is really a Beferish Ramban in his preface to Chumash Mois, where the Ramban says Shmois is a parallel to Bereshis. Bereshis is a story of our others, and it's Maisa Ovis, similar bottom. Similar bottom is the reflection of what happened to Klal Yisrael as a result of what happened to the others. And he says that's why Shmois ends with building of the Mishkan, where you had Hashra Shechina, which means we met the Madrega of the others that had the Shechina above their homes. And the Ramban's lesson is, we went out of Mitzrayim, Nevoichim, Bamidbar, Be'eretz, Lo'ilohim. We were in Geulim. Ad she'shovu el ma'ilas avoysom, v'oz yechashvu Geulim. When we built a Mishkan, and we had Ashra Shechina, means we had a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's Geula. And that's Rav and Shmuel all over again. The Geula Tanefesh is Mitchila Evdei Avedezara Avedezainu and now Kelvonu Hamakam Lavaydasai. According to Shmuel, Geula Tzaguf is enough. I believe we should aspire to the Geula Shleima, which certainly means the Geula Tanefesh. I believe that's the whole Kavana of Geula. That somehow, and that's why in Zohar Kaddish, Matz is called Michla Dem Nehem Nusa, the food of Emunah. That's really what the Kavana should be when a person eats matzah, and as we say in Yiddish, he pravas a seder.
And Rebbe, one last question. What is the message we should be giving? It's the night of the Higadot Labincha. What is the message in a time when it's probably, and this is a very big statement, it may be as hard to bring up children today as it's ever been? The Higadot Labincha is certainly as important today as it's ever been. What is the Higadot Labincha today? What is the message for our children today at the Seder?
It seems to me that to speak generalities, it's hard to go into specifics. Higadot Labincha simply means that in order to maintain our Mesorah, without Mesorah we have nothing. In order to maintain that, a person has to see to it that the person, parents, have relationships with their children that are close to their children. The Torah doesn't say anything about Ava. It says, Kabe da Savicha ve Simecha. It doesn't say you're mechuyev to love your parents, but there is a Zohar HaKadosh, I think the Chachma Sadam brings it. It's almost like understood. There has to be a connection always, and there are people who never have nesyonis with maintaining this connection because of the situation of what's going on outside outside the Dalet Amos Shel Halacha, the holiness of a Jewish home. It's unfortunate, but a person has to do his utmost, and grown children have to do their utmost to show this connection both to parents and to children. Connection. That Vigadol Labincha means make sure you're always connecting with your children.
Well, thank you very much. It's always a covet gadol to have you with us.
The feeling is mutual. Thank you, and have a chag kashuv v'sameach. In the Ukraine, where my parents come from, everyone says, have, before Purim, they say, have a freilich in Purim and a kosher in Pesach. In the Ukraine, they used to say, Purim is going to be freilich, never mind. But because sometimes some people are high, so it should be a kosher in Purim. And when it comes to Pesach, the way people work to prepare Pesach, it's going to be kosher. But make sure that it will be a freilich in Pesach as well. So if it was before Purim, I would tell you, have a kosher of Purim and a freilich of Pesach.
Amen.
Kol tov v'blessed. Shalom.
From Baltimore, Rabbi David Heber, kashrus administrator of the Star K. He's a Talmud of Ner Yisrael, and he's a Talmud of Rav Kolesky. Welcome, Rabbi Heber.
Thank you very much. It's very nice to be here.
So given the complexity of, there are probably 100,000 different medications and medical-related products on the market, and, you know, the difficulty of these, you know, for the consumer, of the tortuous alleys of winding our way through that, can you help us a little bit? I'm going to ask you a number of questions and help our audience through these. Let me start with which prescription medicines, and there are so many, may be taken on Pesach, and which may not? And it's a very broad question, so feel free to divide it, you know, parse and parcel it.
Absolutely. Okay, sure. It's a very important question, and many people have that before Pesach. Really, to answer that question, a person first has to determine what status of chola, what status of illness they have, and why they're taking the medication. As is well known, someone who is a chola sheyesh be'sakana, a person whose life is in danger, certainly could take anything necessary when necessary if nothing else is readily available. That doesn't only include, of course, an obvious sakana like, God forbid, a heart attack or stroke, but it even includes people that are in a condition of sakana. Diabetes, for example, could be sakana if it's not dealt with properly. Lung disease, depression, epilepsy. These types of issues are really sakana, and therefore such a person could really take what's necessary. Now, someone who's a chayla she'en by sakana, someone who is ill, whose life is not in danger, and that would be, you know, your run-of-the-mill person who's sick in bed with a little fever, a little rundown. They're nafalamita, it's called. They're ill. Such a person, there are certain heterim. Ideally, we recommend such a person should look at the list which has been produced by Rabbi Gershon Bess, Shlita Rav in Los Angeles, in conjunction with the Kollel of Los Angeles. And that list he's actually been doing for I think, close to 30 years, if not more than 30 years. During the last 10 years, the Star K has actually published that list in conjunction with the Kollel of Los Angeles. We tell, ideally, a person should look at that list to see an item which is on that list. If a person, and to determine and confirm that it's a chametz-free item. So for example, a pain reliever, which could be a chayla shem be'sakana, you know, there are many, many lists, there are many items on our list, on that list of pain relievers. What we've included this year is a list of, we call it the quick pick list, which is pain relievers, it's got allergies, you know, different types of medications. Stomach ailments, just a quick list of something. Someone wants to go out and buy something. These are the items that have been checked out. These are the items in that quick pick list are actually kosher as well, and they are chametz free. If it's not possible, there are certain heterim. that a person who is a chayil hashem be'sakana is allowed to take. For example, swallowing something, chayil hashem be'sakana, if they can't find it on the list or it's not available in the form they want it, there's a heter for a person who is a chayil hashem be'sakana to swallow something so that's meant to swallow. So like a pill, a tablet would be mutter for a chayil hashem be'sakana to swallow. The third category...
Can I just interrupt for a minute?
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, the Chazon Ish in Hilchos Pesach and Kuf Tazayin in Sivkat and Ches, and Rav Moshe Feinstein, interestingly, in Aruch Chaim and Siman Tzadik Beis, both Shneim Nisnabu B'Tignoi Nechad, and they both say that something that's not Royal Lachilas Kelev, which we would assume that most, you know, I can't imagine a dog sitting down and eating a plate of aspirins or nitroglycerin or Sudafed or almost any type of a pill is mutter on Pesach. And there's no achshavei. They say that there's no, even if there's chametz gomer in it, they say there's no achshavei because on the chametz gomer, as long as it's not roi lachilas kelev. So they say even according to the rush of achshavei, it would still be mutter. So why do we even need those lists? Like, why bother yourself with buying cumbersome lists? And why did the Kohelis bother making those lists when we have a Chazon Ish? And the Chazon Ish was a big machmir. He's like the most machmir. He's like all the way out to right field in the Chumrah. What do we need those lists for?
All right. So first of all, I'll answer that question specifically. But first of all, the third category certainly is why a person needs that list, because a Chayla, someone who's not a chayla, someone who has a mechush, a discomfort, will need to, you know, act. It doesn't necessarily have that heter in such a case. Certainly, there are many items that are not, don't fit the pill category. For example, liquids that do taste good could contain ingredients like sorbitol, which could be chametz-based, and those taste good. So, first of all, part of that list is covering a lot of liquid medications, which don't fit into this issue and do taste good. And especially if a person's not a chayla, so that it's very hard to be mekel for a person to take a liquid that tastes good if they're not a chayla sheish besakana. So that's number one. So that part of the list certainly assists in that. Number two is there certain chumras of Pesach that people have kept for decades, for more than decades. We found a list from the 1920s from Germany, where they actually, the similar, it's not exactly the same list, obviously, they're different medications, but Bishum Chumr de Pesach, people have been makbid on these items. And again, we're talking the 1920s in Germany. We're not talking, this is not a list out of B'nai Brak or Mei Sharim. This was in Germany in the 1920s, where they had a list of items. I mean, it was even sometimes more chumr than things that are covered in the Los Angeles list. So you see, and one of the reasons of that is that there is an ability to extract the chametz from the product. You see, there's two types of items that are nifsal. Something could be spoiled. If you took a piece of bread, let's say, you know, it got moldy and spoiled, so then the price can speak about, you know, that, whether that's mutter, nifsal, chilas, kelev, etc. Here, you have an ingredient that could potentially be chametz that's in the pill, and that ingredient is still there. Technically, now you're what's called irub by davar mar, which means you're mixing it with something, the active medication, which gives it a bitter taste. Technically, it's possible to separate those out, and you could have, and I've spoken to companies about this, you could have back your starch or your chametz ingredient, which comes back out of it. Now, normally, maker adin, it's mutter. However, because of Pesach, people say they want to be machmir in this nakuda, and therefore that's why historically people have been machmir. Now, al pi halacha, there's certainly a terror of a person has the ability to swallow
Rabbi
a pill.
Herber, the Chazon Ish is not machmir. So why would we be machmir more than the Chazon Ish?
Well, first of all, Rabbi Yishe's tshuva, I believe is going on achshavei. Right? It's going on the union of achshavei specifically
right. On
that nakuda, because, first of all, there are paiskim that say this chumrah, there's sort of bishum chumrah de Pesach. There's an inyan
For example, who would be machmir more than the Igros Moshe or the Chazon Ish? Who specifically is machmir more than the Igros Moshe and the Chazon Ish?
Well, I don't think Rav Moshe was just out of hand. In other words, the Pribagadim writes that you say, Machil and I say, Akal, Akal. When you have a choice between A and B, you go with what's more makel. So even if the Chazon Ish and Rav Moshe were makel, they again, I don't know if they addressed this Prima Gadim, but the Prima Gadim clearly says there's an inyan of machilas akal even by these cases.
Not where it's nifsal, not where it's nifsal meachilas kelev, it's earth.
No, because it's not. That's what I'm explaining. It's not earth. It's you have a pill. If you go, if it's a factory, you have a pill. The way a pill is made is as follows: there's a mixture of ingredients. They don't ruin the chametz ingredient.
Even the chametz ingredient, a dog wouldn't eat. It's some inedible.
No, that's not true. It would be separated out.
Some inedible. Starch.
Called irav by davar mar. That's called irav by davar mar. That's not nifsal. Nifsal means when you take something and you it gets ruined innately and cannot be transferred, and that cannot come back to its original form. Irav by davar mar is when you take an item and you mix something into it, so right now it becomes inedible.
So would a dog eat these fillers? A dog would actually sit down and eat the fillers that are put in?
If you separated it out, in other words, you could chemically, a company could technically separate out the chametz ingredients from if something is chametz, that is, right? The company has the ability to do that. And therefore, that's the din of Irbay Davar Mar. So this Be'etzem Zach is mutar, but there are Paiskim, I believe, the Ma'idim Muzmanim, I believe, speaks about this in detail, where if you have something which you're able to separate out, there are Paiskim, there is such a concept of being Machmir. Now, normally, you may not be a need to do that, but for Pesach, you know, the Chumrat of Pesach, people have historically done that. But as I'm explaining, Meikar Adin is correct, but there is a machilas sa'ak kalakal by an irbay davar mar, which says if you have a choice between consuming something which is chametz when you have something that's equally as effective and available. In other words, you're standing in the store and you want to buy something. You could buy something with chametz or you could buy something without chametz. Then the Prima Gadim writes, just like for your listeners, I'll explain, machilas sa'ak kalakal is usually used by sakonas nefashis. In other words, somebody has an ability to. Somebody has 5 hours to get to the hospital for a danger. The halacha is we tell them take a taxi, because why drive when you have 5 hours to get there? Call a cab, and go. The lady's expecting. You know she's in labor. We tell them to do that. Now if a lady's in labor and she needs to get there, we say move it. If you're a mesupik, jump in the car and go as fast as you can. Obviously when all else is equal, and a person has the ability to take the more makel root, or rather, excuse me, the more kal root, which means the less issue, we tell them, take the taxi to the hospital and don't drive. Again, we're talking about where everything's equal, you got 5 hours to get there, you know, there's no rush, a lot of ladies in labor, anyway, don't run straight to the hospital. Dr. Prima Gadim explains that this same concept by Chaylush Eish B'Sakana applies to these dinim of Chaylush Eim B'Sakana also. Which means, and especially by Pesach, where you have ability A and ability B, and you're looking at both items, so why take the chametz item and come on to this? You may as well take the other route. But again, if you don't have that ability, and a person is a chayla, then certainly they're...
But Rabbi Herber, I would say it is a chilek, okay? That the dinu machil and I say hakal hakal is where you have two items that are, there's a hierarchy of iser. Clearly you go with the lowest iser, the next highest iser, you go up the hierarchy, right? Even these starches, even if you were to separate them out, they would still not be royal achilas adam.
That's not true. They would be. They would
be royal achilas kelev. No person is going to sit down and eat this type of starch and sit down with a plate of this type of starch.
No, but you
can
take
right?
that starch and put it into whatever, however.
But as it is, it's not going to be edible. So inedible,
no, it's not
if
true.
It's not royal achilas adam, it's only other because of
Mechama
Boya Ta'isan, so you don't have to worry about that on Pesach.
Let me ask a question. There's a product on the market called dextrin. Right, which is used. I forgot the trade name for it. It's a wheat dextrin, right? It's a dextrose item that people take and they mix it with water and they drink it. Now, is that edible? Yes,
what are they,
definitely
what
edible.
And what do they drink it for?
They drink it for it's for fiber.
Good. So that's also, but that's not a food that they drink it. Would you say
metamucil? Item.
I don't mean that.
That's
is metamucil a food?
No, if metamucil happens to be kosher Pesach, because
I don't mean that, but is somebody drinking a fiber for eichel or for bowel movement.
I think if someone drank a fiber which is wheat derived, they may it may be a chayvei krisis because it's edible. You mix it with water. That fiber, again, there's a real product
in
the market.
Is anybody going to drink Metamucil, unflavored Metamucil, and have any hana from it?
I would not. I would clar say that if a Metamucil type product, right? If it's a Metamucil type product that is chametz gomer, no one would touch such a thing. I mean, Rachmana Litzlan, to drink such a thing on Pesach, that's chametz gomer straight away.
So we were asked the following shaila by a machanach. Okay, he says, I don't have the money to. I have to make the choice between shmura matzah for Pesach or buying meat for Pesach. Which one do I do?
I assume that the shaila was the whole Pesach shmura matzah.
Yeah,
in other
for
words,
the Seder. Obviously.
For the Seder.
Yeah.
I assume he's going to be able to get shmura matzah for the Seder.
Yes, that's
but
correct.
Not for the whole Pesach.
Yeah, that's correct.
Is that correct? Is my assumption correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
Well, let's assume that. I'm going to assume that because anybody can get shmura matzah because, you know, you can go to a gemach and get shmura matzah for a Seder. They're not going to give you shmura matzah for a whole Pesach, but for a Seder, they'll give you shmura matzah. So I'm assuming the shaila was, he could either be machmer to eat shmura matzah for the entire Pesach, or he could, and not have meat, that's what he could afford, or he could afford to buy meat. I would say if his minig was always to eat shmura matzah, he should be matzah neder on that minig, and he should buy meat for Yontif and only have shmura matzah by the Seder, but make sure to buy a brand which you know his Rav is comfortable with or his Meir Hara is comfortable with, but not necessarily that it's shmura matzah.
Well, Rabbi Heber, thank you very much, and I think you've really laid it out for the Olam very clearly, you know, what the halacha saw and what the chumra saw, and thank you for sharing your hashkafa and the halacha with us.
You're welcome. I wish you and your mishpacha and your and all your listeners a chag kosher v'sameach.
Chag kosher v'sameach, and thank you for joining us.
Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's on the phone from Cleveland, Harav Baruch Hirschfeld, who's the Dayan and Reish Kollel in Cleveland. Welcome, Rav Hirschfeld.
Hello. Thank you.
So, Rabbi Hirschfeld, we were asked by a number of people the following question. We do not have enough money to do all the mitzvahs on Pesach. Our minig is to eat shmura matzah all of Pesach. After the first two nights, we have the following choice. We could eat shmura machine matzah, or we could eat hand shmura matzah. But if we choose to eat shmura matzah, which is expensive, we would not be able to buy our wife a new dress for Yom Tov. Do we buy machine matzah and buy our wife the dress, or do we buy hand matzah and not buy our wife the dress?
That's an interesting question. So I'd like to analyze the question by going through the pros and cons of machine versus hand matzahs. Why some people don't want machine matzahs and why some want hand matzahs. And I think from analyzing the reasons and pros and cons, we'll be able to come to an answer to this question. So when machine matzahs first came out, it was very much like a pulley system run by people turning wheels. As it evolved, it became electrical. And then the questions came into play as follows. The first bunch of Gedolim who said not to use machine matzahs felt it can't be lishmo. We know Pesachim Daf Mem, which smartum es matzos yefter shmira u'shei matzos mitzvah. And if a machine is doing it, so it's being done by itself. It's like matzah made by a goy or a cheshet for cotton who can't do a lishmo, and it's not a kosher matzah to get his mitzvah on Pesach night. So the first ones who asked machine matzah said it's not made lishmo. It's like made like a cheshet of a cotton, and therefore can't be called lishmo. Now, Lamaisa, both machine matzahs and hand matzahs have come a long way. Many, many chumas done nowadays that weren't done earlier to clean the equipment well and to make sure that everything's done well. So really, everybody seems to agree that you don't find by the machine and by the hand. Just some say the slow entry of the machine matzahs might make the chashash chimritz, but not everybody holds to that. So now, if a person asks, you can ask Pesach Maizel Seder and for the whole Pesach using hand or machine matzahs. So I think the answer is like this. You know, if somebody has a clear Mitzvah that his obviously his part of the world where his parents came from, and they used only machine or only hand, he should carry on the meaning of the Ovis. If the Ovis will not put to have hand Shmura for a whole Pesach, he should keep on that meaning. If it's only for the Seder they had it, unless the Pesach was Dafka, then that's also acceptable meaning. But you should keep the meaning of the Ovis. So now, the question was asked, if it comes now, a person has a choice to buy hand Shmura for the whole Yom Tov and not be able to buy his wife a dress, or to buy a machine for the rest of Pesach and be able to buy the wife a dress, I would say it depends. If this person has a Mitzvah minik, and because that minik he was all makter to always eat only hand Shmura, I hope he should keep that.
Thank you very much. That was Dayan Baruch Hirschfeld, the Dayan Reish Koyel of Cleveland. We have with us on the phone Rabbi Yosef Weiner. He's the Morad Asra of Gehillah Shara Shemaim of Muncie, New York. He's a prolific lecturer. He's on Torah anytime. He speaks all over. Welcome, Rabbi Weiner.
Thank you very much for having me again.
So we have Rabbi Weiner. We have a Shaila that was asked by Daniel Soloff, Rabbi Daniel Soloff of Lakewood, that he got this question. And it's, I think, a very powerful question. He said he was asked this by a number of a mechanchim. And sadly, you know, this is a topic that Rabbi Mizrahi from Brooklyn has been speaking about. They said, you know, we don't have a lot of money for Pesach. And there's, you know, there's a mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov. And we have money for Shmura Matzis, hand Shmura Matzis the first night and the second night. And after that, Shmura Matzis are very expensive. They can be $25 a pound or, you know, $30 a pound or 20, but it's a lot of money. I'm not sure exactly, you know, depending on your chumris. And if we buy the family and their mishpachas that are brucha yeladim, Shmura Matzis, we will not be able to eat meat the rest of Yom Tov. So our minig is to eat Shmura Matzis, and, you know, we recognize the chumris. But on the other hand, the Rambam in, you know, in Shvisas Yom Tov, in Perek Vav Tezayin, he says, in or Halach Yud Ches, he says that is a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, and ain't Simcha Ela B'Bas of Yayin. So, do we eat Shmura Matzah the rest of Yom Tov, or do we eat those horrible words, Mishin Matzahs, right?
Are you referring to Mishin Shmura, Mishin Ashmur?
Let's say machine shmura, which is still relatively cheap. It's $3 or $4 a pound. Machine shmura, which the, you know, everybody knows the sons of Rav said eish lahava against. But if we eat machine matzis, then which the sons of Rav was so against, we will not be able to eat meat on Pesach. Which do we do?
Just a short review on the old machlokes between the machine matzah and the hand matzah. As is somewhat well known, in the 1800s, they started with the original versions of the machine. Divrei Chaim, Shlomo Kluge, and others were very against it on a number of fronts. First one, obviously, is the kashrus issue. Is the chametz, the residual chametz, sticking to the machine? Can they clean it well? Even when they said they would clean it well, was it actually being cleaned between runs? Originally, it was not. And that was a serious concern. The good news is, on that front, it has gotten 1,000 times better. There are those that say the machine matzahs today, from a kasher standpoint of chametz, is either as good, and some say it's even better. The second issue is an issue of lishma, which is only an issue for the first two nights, the first two starim. And the question is, can a person create lishma by pressing a button? Does everything that the automated system does for the next 10, 15 minutes accrue to my maisa, or is it separated, in which case the machine's doing it, and that can't create lishma. On that, many poskim are makel as well. That would affect, of course, writing Sifrei Torah and other things as well. That would cut across many areas of halacha. But that is the second part of the machlokes. The Shlomo Kluge was also worried at those times of people who depended on the jobs, losing their jobs from the hand factory to the machines. That might or might not be an issue today, but the way it fell out, most people for this darm are using hand matzah. There are those who are, quote-unquote, they're mahadah to use machine, but they like the kashrus better. But your shayla, I believe, was really for the rest of Pesach. If they can't afford the shmurah for the entire family for the rest of Pesach, at the expense of not being able to afford basar v'yayin, what should go first? So the good news is that the machine shmurah again from the kasher standpoint, depending on which company. Some are better than others, but there are some state-of-the-art facilities that have cleaning processes in place that are unbelievably done well, automated, and machines don't make mistakes. So from a kasher standpoint, if a person doesn't have a masura otherwise, obviously most see them, it's not all them, follows divrei chayim, and will not use machine at all, somebody from a malishvisha background, the yeksha background, really should have not much of an issue, besides, of course, the taste. That might not be an enhancement of the Simchas Yontif because the hand, according to many, tastes better. But if it's a choice between basar v'yayin versus machine shmurah and hand shmurah, I would tell people from those persuasions to go with the machine for the rest of the Pesach and use the hand for the Leil Sedarim to get out of the shayla of the Lashma issue, even if the Chametz perspective is certainly under control.
Agreed. And what would you say to somebody who is Hasidish?
If they're following all the Chassidishim and Hagim and Mesera, Lekula, and Lechumra, and the Divrei Chaim said no, again, scholastically, intellectually, one could argue the Divrei Chaim's main issue was the Chametz, and we've probably not only repaired that issue, but excelled in it. Lamaisa Divrei Chaim, in his brilliance, did not say the reason. Idafka said he wasn't going to say the reason.
He says, I will not reveal the reason.
Exactly. Which means he didn't want it. And part of the issue, of course, was Chodesh Hashem and the Torah, and there were a lot of changes. The Haskalah was making inroads, and they wanted good old-fashioned matzahs, round matzahs like Moshe Rabbeinu had, and there's a lot to be said for that. So, Lamaisa, I think that for those who are following such an haga, it wouldn't even add to the Simchas Yontif because they'd be so upset about having to use the machine. I think the Bas of Yai wouldn't taste very good at that point.
Uh-huh. And I think it's probably fair to say that in the Divrei Chaim's times, people were probably pretty poor, much more than today. And when he said that, he may have assumed that people wouldn't eat meat because of his chumrah, no?
Possibly, but I think he held that this was right in the middle of the Tkufa where many changes were coming fast and furious and getting all the Gedolei Yisrael very nervous for good reason, and there's automatically going to be pushback with that, and those who are still holding firm to the fact that they're not changing the Messiah certainly is something to be said for that.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Weiner, and a Chag Kosher Sameach.
It should be with Hatzlacha.
Thank you. We go to Rav Gershon Bess of Los Angeles, California.
And he's also the machaber, the author of Passover Medicines and Cosmetics, which is a must-have in almost every from a household. It's published in conjunction with the STAR-K, Worldwide Passover Directory to Medicines. Welcome, Harav Bess.
Thank you.
Harav Bess, could you give us just a thumbnail? What does somebody do when they have some medicine? It's like an unmarked pill. What do we do in such a situation?
Well, if medically the person needs it and he doesn't have the opportunity to be able to clarify whether or not there is a chametz in it, then they would have to take the pill because there are enough mekilim, meikra din, that one could take it even if there is a chametz ingredient. If the person has the opportunity to check either some Pesach lists provided like by the guide that I put out for as a public service of the Kollel in Los Angeles, or his Achdus has a very thorough list, and there are other lists, so that would of course be the best if they can get in touch with somebody, with a pharmacist who's able to look up to see if there are any suspicious ingredients. All the ingredients, all the inactive ingredients are available for any prescription drug. And there are certain ingredients that can be a problem. For example, mannitol is something that is made out of wheat or corn or polysorbate AV. Sometimes is made from a wheat, even though mostly it's not made from wheat, it's made from corn. So the pharmacist usually will be able to see whether there's any suspicious-looking ingredients. Xanthan gum is another one that can be suspicious ingredient. But many, Baruch Hashem, many of the medications, even if with one company they may add a mannitol, other companies, the same exact drug, will not add a mannitol. So usually the pharmacist will be able to clarify, or they can call his Rav, who will to his own research to find out. It's interesting, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, I asked Rav Meir Soloveitchik, Nebuch Zatzal, great loss for Klal Yisrael, I asked him what, you know, whether he had any messiah or anything to say about this issue, about whether or not one should. And he said that his father, the Brisker Rav Zatzal, was matbid not to buy medications after Pesach from a pharmacist that didn't sell his chametz.
So even if it was nifsal v'achilas kelav?
Right. So Brisker Rav, that's what I asked him about. So Brisker Rav was machmir even on... Okay, that's the Brisker Rav. Not bringing him. But I'm just saying it was the minig of Klal Yisrael all through the generations to be machmir on this.
So why wasn't the Chazanish machmer?
Well, we don't know if the Chazanish was machmer or not. I don't know if it was machmer or not. When he writes in the Sefer, when he writes discussing the Iker Din, that is what, you know, many, we know many, many, many things that the Chazanish writes in the Sefer Iker Din. So, you know, the fact that he discusses it, even though he himself has, you know, a little footnote, not a footnote, but in the bracket, which means like a later Madura, that, you know, he added on later that if it's Me'uru B'Yadayim, I'm sure you saw it, Almanas to eat the chametz if it's made before in order to eat it. So it's not like 100% clear. And also, the Chazanish also, we see his Meikil on another Nakuda, which is not so postured in the Poskim. In the Poskim, constantly we see that by chametz, if it's, it has to be Nifsal Me'achilas Kelev. Chazanish learns, like the Ran Taka says, Shalas had to learn of the Ram, but the Chazanish learns Lamaisa that any time that the chametz is not in the position that it could be, that it could make a dough at, use it as a sap, make it to be mechametz something else, so he says it only needs this mechilas adam. Now, it's takam in asvara, that's, you know, one could surely extrapolate that from the Ran, but from the stimas hapoiskim all over, I mean, any of these chametzes to say that if I would put this in a bread, it would make it, you know, ferment, is very rachik in the Metzius to say that. And yet, all the Paiskin constantly are using in all these cases when it's mixed with other things. He says that they, in these Nifsim Echilas Kalev. So Chazanish seem to learn the Ran Mamet, not that it's a gilui in the din of chametz because of the Royal Chameya, but it actually has to really be Royal Chameya.
Well,
just add one more point to just say that the Bir Halacha says clearly that if a person takes a food, a chametz, and he mixes into it dvarim charifim, that because of the charifis you can't eat it. He asks as if it's like pashut. He says, isn't it pashut that's not going to make the chametz be considered not nifsal me'achila? It's not going to be considered nifsal just because you were irid by davar charif, that machmas charifus, and now it can't be eaten. That's not going to make the possible the chametz. So it's not like 100% pashut. You know, there's much like written and discussed about it. So if you're asking, you know whether there's a need for the list, I'm not known to be a machmir, and surely, you know, everybody is going to say that if a person needs a medication with chulu, that, and he doesn't have available, that Itaki should take it, no question. But whether it's been the Messiah of the Doiris, this is one of the...
So, Rabbi Bess, can I ask you two questions? By the way, the din of Lechama by Asa'isa is usually when it's Nifsal Me'achilas Adam, not Me'achilas Kelev. So I think Chazanish is going, if it's not Nifsal Me'achilas Adam, he says it's not Roy Lechama by. But if Nifsal Me'achilas Kelev, it wouldn't matter anymore, even if it was Lechama by. It would... So, Rabbi Bess, let me ask you another follow-up question. Would you say that the chumris of that we're discussing, that it's a mashahu, or maybe that that we go lefnei mashuras hadin, would you do the same for kitnius as well, or only for chametz, or would you do it even for the minig of kitnius?
That also is a very good question. Now, surely on the kitnius, and if there's a reason for medication, or if it's nifsal, really, that's not edible, I don't think that there's a chumrah of kidneys in such a case.
So then let me ask you a follow-up question, Rebbe. Let's say vitamins that are not chewable, you know, those horrible, they smell absolutely awful when you open the bottle. You can't even believe you have to take one of them. Would those, in your opinion, for Pesach, in a case where, by vitamins, assuming that the issue is kidneys, would you say on those, they would also need a hechsher if it was a kidneyous issue or not?
It's not fair to ask me that question, meaning that personally, I don't know that there's a Messiah or any Messiah to be masbir on kidneys that are nifsal or medication. And my assumption is that there is no such chumrah that people took on. With chametz, they took on. But with kidneys, etc., if it's not edible and it's not real achila, and if there's any tzairif at all, even vitamins, I personally would not be machar on such a thing. So I don't know, but if you're asking a question, is there such a, are there people that are machmir? I am sure that there are people that are machmir. And tov aleihem bracha. The question is, what about if there's kidneys and it's taka bottle b'shishim? In that case, and I know it was put in l'chatchila for that purpose, and it's an eichel, is that something to be machmir about or not? Now, it's like, you know, it used to be always that, you know, all the Pesach lists would have that you can take this orange juice without hechsher, as long as it doesn't have citric acid. Now, the citric acid is mashahu compared, and the citric acid, maybe there's shayel chametz, but really, you know, we know it's, you know, basically from corn. So yet, you know, seemed that maybe by eichel, it would seem that you know, people were more lenient on it. I mean, we're still a little bit more machmir on the kidneys than we came bottle even before Pesach. So again, it's very hard. You know, I've discussed with some people, and they said, avada nisht, you know, even if it's a bottle, the Pesach. So it's very hard to, you know, to know exactly how far the chumrah de Pesach goes. But I did see, and I'll share this with you, that I did see recently brought down, actually my son, Binyamin, Zev from South Fallsburg sent it to me, that he brought from the Rebbe, that in the Zohar HaKadosh it says that the Dikdukin, that Klal Yisrael medadik on Shmir of Chametz, is Kemoi Tachshite Kala. It's like the adornments you make for a Kala. Shekama Shemosifin La Yoyser Tachshitim, Hu No Yoyser. That just like a Kala, the more that you beautify her, the beautiful more she looks. Kemo Kain. Afa chumra she Yisrael machmirim bePesach shehem yabim u'mahadren es haMitzvah, and for each chumra the Rabbeinu Shalom is mispoer banu. So he writes there that, you know, and I just thought of the mamash the mashal, like with a chasana, go to a chasana, like every detail, and it's not necessary. Chasana works with just plain, you know, tablecloth, but it has to be with these flowers and with this decoration and with the mints on it, everything on it. Why? It's for my son. It's for my daughter's wedding. I want it to be beautiful. So that's how the, you're saying in Zohar Kodesh, it says that it's not necessary. You can get along, and the wedding will be perfect, the same kedushin, the same chuppah. But it's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, when he made us into an ummah. This is our yontif together with Rabbeinu Shalom, the melech and Klal Yisrael, the kala. So the Zohar is telling us every digduk we do to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's, you know, that's like beautifying the kala.
And you know, we have the Rekeach that says that the seven brachas before Achilas Matzah is like the brachas by the chuppah.
Very, very good.
So it's consistent.
We have the great honor of having us on the phone, Hagoyin HaParashal Shechta. He's the Rosh Yeshiva of Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. He's also, you know, a noted speaker, Paisik. And he's the halachic advisor for Kashrus for the OU. Welcome to the Rosh Yeshiva.
Thank you.
So, if you have somebody who was Mekayim Pruruvu, he has five children, this person had, and he said he cannot afford financially to have any more children. He says, I work three jobs, I just can't afford it. Is there a heter not to have children if somebody can't afford it, or is a person mechuyev to have children regardless?
I mean, he already fulfilled period. He has a son and a daughter.
Yeah, he had five children. He had three girls and two boys.
Yeah, so it says in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Gemara, La'er about Tanach Yodecha, there's a Midas Chassidus to have more than just a boy and a girl. But the Shmuel quotes on the Ramban and the Mohammed that La'er about Tanach Yodecha is not even a Chiyav Midirabbanon, it's a Midas Chassidus. So it says in the Ramah, if it's going to cause friction, if it's going to cause problems, so you don't do this Midas Chassidus. The Ramah gives a case, the fellow's wife died, and he can remarry and have more children, but he's afraid having more children will cause friction with the older children. There'll be two sets of children, those from the first wife, those from the second wife, and it'll be Machlekes.
So the Rambam says, whenever there's you don't observe a midas chasidus, if it's going to cause friction.
And that,
yeah,
is that
can't afford it, is nisht.
That's even with a first wife, if he can't afford it, is nisht.
Yeah, same thing. There about time. So, I have 9 children, Baruch Hashem. We would have had more also, but my wife wasn't able to. But it's a nice midas chasidus if he can live up to it. Sometimes the parents just psychologically, they're not fit to raise so many children. There's no mitzvah to have a lot of children and to let them grow on their own like wild Indians. The mitzvah peririvya is to raise children properly with a proper chinuch. If you don't raise them with a proper chinuch, you're not doing the peririvya. Just to have children and not to raise them properly is nishkem mitzvah.
I'm curious, does the Rav have is that a raya to that? That if somebody has children and raises them like to be wild Indians, he wouldn't be Mekayim Puru Revu?
I think that's the Gemara in Brochus in the first Perek, that Chizkiyahu HaMelech got sick because he didn't have children. So Yishai HaNavi came and he visited him. So he said, you're going to die because you didn't fulfill. So he said, no, he saw Baruch HaKodesh that he won't succeed in raising them properly. They'll be over the Avodah Zor. So he told them, Bahari Kapshe Derachman Allah Malach, you have to move, you're Mukhiv to have children, you should have. So the three different interpretations that they give that you look on Yom Kippur there, they have three different interpretations. So some of them say that the whole argument of Chizkiyahu HaMelech was incorrect. There's a mitzvah to have children, whether they'll be religious or not. And most of the Achronim say not so. Most of the Achronim say either you're not allowed to pass Kinshala based on Ruach HaKodesh, or they told them that your Ruach HaKodesh is incorrect because Menashe, your son, is going to be Chayza B'tshuva. But the premise of Chizkiyahu HaMelech was correct. You're only out to the mitzvah if you think that you'll be able to raise the children to be Shomer Mitzvahs. The mitzvah of Peri V'Levi, Kodem Matan Torah, used to be required of Nochrim as well. Kodem Matan Torah applied to the Nochrim as well. And after Matan Torah, changed only to Bnei Yisrael. Why only to Bnei Yisrael? Because Kodem Matan Torah, the nature of the mitzvah is Peru V'Milus Haaretz, to populate the world. After Matan Torah, the whole nature of the mitzvah changed. Mitzvah is to preserve Yiddishkeit, to transmit Yiddishkeit to the next generation, that it should be transmitted weiter. But if he doesn't think he'll succeed in raising the children properly in Yiddishkeit, Shmiris and Mitzvahs, in the Menschlichkeit, and being a normal human being, not to be a wild Indian, so then he's not in fulfillment in the mitzvah period of Rivi. That was the shaila. Is there a mitzvah period of Rivi if you live under the communist and you know that you will not succeed in raising your children as an observant Jew? The communists will make it impossible. So if you can foresee that communism is going to collapse, is one thing. But you can't foresee. It took a long time till it collapsed. For many years, the people did not foresee it's ready to collapse. So the Pashto says that there was no mitzvah period of Rivi. Period of Rivi, you only Yotzei. In Shulchan Aruch, they have the discussion. The Gemara says that if a Nochri had a son and a daughter, then he converts, so he's Yotze Peru Revi with the children that he had been Nochri Yusuf. So the Rambam says, Nizgayruhu Banavimo, if the children also convert. So I think the Magen Mishnah says it's Svara Pshuta, if the children don't convert, so he's not perpetuating Yiddishkeit to the next generation, so he's not Yotze. And the Beis Shmuel quotes those who disagree, no, the Rambam meant, even if Nizgayruhu Banim, if Lon is Gai Rabbanim and they remain Nochem, then for sure he's Yotze the Mitzvah, even this Gai. So he holds the Yotze, the Beis Shmuel quotes those, Marami Prague, some others, they understand the Rambam, that Yotze Pirivya with children are Nochem. So you're not, so he obviously doesn't agree with what I'm saying. He thinks that Yotze the Mitzvah, even if you're not perpetuating Yiddishkeit. But the Pashto says, like the Magen Mishnah, that the Rambam meant you're only Yotze Yiddishkeit, you're only Yotze Pirivya, if the children whom you give birth to will perpetuate Yiddishkeit, you're transmitting the Masor of Yiddishkeit to the next generation. That's peripheral.
Well, thank you very much for your time, and it's an honor to have you with us. Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, Rabbi Herschel Shechta. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a tzlacha.
We have on the phone with us Hagoyin Rabbi Nachum Eisenstein from Yerushalayim. He was the Makuriv Shamash B'Kodesh with the Rashke B'Hag, Rebel Yashiv Zichron Levracha. He also made him the head of the Geiris Bezdin and many other shtelas. He's a Rav in Yerushalayim. Welcome, Reb Nachum.
Shalom Aleichem to all the listeners.
Right, yes. Since you wanted to, we had spoken in the past about family planning, and I had noted that the Aruch HaShulchan says that somebody does not have to marry a woman who's capable of bearing children in a second marriage. If ein sipik b'yadei lefarnasam, if parnasa is difficult, and you believe I erred over there, so I would like to discuss it with you, to hear what your thoughts, chavas das is.
The 2 points which I mentioned, which were al pi what I, which I was, which I received from Moiri Varabi, is that as far as person was mekayim pruavu, person was has a boy and a girl, he was mekayim pruavu. There's still a very big Indian al pi hashkafa. And al pi halacha, they should continue having children as much as possible. And it's based on the Gemara Yavamis that Afal Pishas Orba Boykal Tanik Yatcha Be'erif. Now, there's a Hashkaf Inyan involved here, and there's a halacha issue involved here. The Hashkaf Inyan, it's Dvarim She'oim Din Beruma Shal Oilam, that Chazal tells us that a Mashiach Bo Achikal Kol Neshama Shebeguf, that Mashiach won't come until all the potential children will be born. So this is a very big Hashkaf Inyan, because we're all being Metzapel Yeshua, we're Metzapel Agula, we're waiting for Mashiach to come as soon as possible. So that's the Hashkaf Inyan. The Halacha Inyan is that a person is Mechuyiv, besides Halacha Pruavu, is Mechuyiv, there's a Din Shevis, and there's other Halachas, which I don't think this is the place where we should go into all the details. However, the person doesn't have to look too far, that you can look in the first Beis Shmuel and the Taz and the other Noise Kalim and Shulchan Aruch and Evan Ezra, and it's made clear that even though a person was Mekayim Pruavu, that he has to try to have as many children as possible. The Beis Shmuel and the Taz ask Akasha and the Shittas of Rambam, and they say according to the Rambam, it may be only a Chiyuv Derabbanim. There's other Poskim holders a Chiyuv Deraisa, but according to everyone, there's no question about it that a person should try to have as many children as possible. It's either a Chiyuv Deraisa or a Chiyuv Derabbanim. Now, there are exceptions, which we mentioned in the past. There are exceptions in exceptional cases, but there's conditions when these exceptions may be used. And I just want to say over, which I saw recently from Rav Moshe, Nigris Moshe, Chelek Aleph Ebenezer, and Chelek Dalet Ebenezer, there's several very clear tshuvas over here, which are very, very interesting. Rav Moshe also says that the person should be mishtadel, he should try as much as he can to have as many children. We know Shulchan Aruch mentioned certain cases that there might be a heter, and maybe it's more than a heter, he shouldn't, if there's medical issues and things like that, he shouldn't be machmir himself. Adrabi has to take care of his health and make sure that everything's okay. But in order to exercise one of these heterim, Rav Moshe says in these tshuvas some very, very clear guidelines, which I think is something which we can use for other things also. One of the guidelines is that you have to have a personal rav to ask the rav. It's not that a person can look himself and find a sefer. A sefer might say like this. A person might not even understand what the sefer says. The Aruch HaShulchan is talking about a different case. It's not talking about a case in a person who's still married. That, but whatever it is, he says, it's not enough to have a personal rav or to speak to him privately, but this has to be a rav who's a Talmud Chacham. He's a known Talmud Chacham. He's not just a regular pulpit rabbi who might be a very fine pulpit rabbi, but he's not in a position to paskin and shilas, which we mentioned before, oimid beruma shel oilam. So the one is you have to have an authorized rav. You have to have an authorized rav. If someone goes to his local rav, and his local rav, which is not a chasson in him, that he's not a poisik, he's not an outstanding poisik, he should refer the person to a outstanding rav who's well acquainted with these issues. So now, there's another very, very interesting condition which Rav Moshe makes. And this, I think, is important not only for the issues which we're discussing, but it's something which I speak about all about whenever I have opportunity in my kehila. Is that Rav Moshe says that if a rav gives you a heter, the heter has to be kept quiet in the secret. It's not that the husband or the wife should discuss it with her friends or with other people, for the simple reason, if a lady or a man is going to say, no, so we got a heter from a rav to use birth control, and so the personal head asks, if you're using birth control, I can use birth control also. And they might even say what the conditions were, and the person say, I exactly have the same conditions, and I don't have to ask a rav. So Rav Moshe mentions this in a very, very clear way. It could not be told. First of all, Matin Sneas is not a proper thing to go speak about these things. But he doesn't discuss that issue. He discusses the Michel Gadol to come out if people discuss it with other people, and there'll be Madama or Milso that compare one thing to another thing and say, ooh, this hat is good for me also. And it's a thing which I speak about in my Kehillah. Everyone says that, how do they do it? Everyone does it. So this is a very, very big problem, not only in these serious halakas, but regular halakas. Everyone does it. So they don't have a rav. Now, I mentioned in the past that Rav Henkin, who was the Poshek Gador in America before Rav Moshe came, and he was a colleague of Rav Moshe. He writes in the Hagdama, in the introduction to one of his earliest svarim, Eretz Yisrael, that he goes back to the 40s and the 50s, that when telephones, even in America, telephones weren't such a common thing. And he writes over there, he's very disturbed, that when telephones have become more popular, people will not go to the Rav. They're going to call up the Rav and ask a Shaila on the telephone. He says it's not a proper way to answer a Shaila. You have to come to the Rav. When you come to the Rav, you can discuss it. There may be some things which are important, which you don't mention. When you speak on the telephone, things are much shorter. It's a whole different relationship. And Rav Henkin writes then that it's going to be a big danger, a mishal, that people are going to start asking Shailas on telephones. So the culture came, Pashit, a person, when it comes to serious inyanim, it's not that everyone does it, or this person does it. So this tshuva is a very important tshuva in Kol HaTorah Kula, that there's no such thing as everyone does it. So I'm talking in the name of the Rabbanim. The Rabbanim won't mind if you come and you'll ask them, even though it might be a lot easier. So once we're on the subject, I want to mention something, which is, this is, you're the best opportunity. As to mentioned in you, because you have a tremendous amount of listeners, in the same thought, in the same Indian, that Baruch Hashem today, they have all over the world, they have these called telephone hotlines. They can call up Shilas 24 hours a day. I myself am a member also. I answer Shilas in several hotlines. Even people in America call me up once in the middle of the night in America. They know I'm one of the people you can call over here. And they answer Shilas, which is very good, that if your Rav is not available, so you can call up this hotline. Now, I speak many times to the people organizing these hotlines, that the hotlines are a tremendous thing. If a person has a quick Shilas, impossible to call up, he's a kosher Shilas, has a simple shaila, call up the Rav and you'll get an answer. But the hotlines are not made. They're not made for delicate shailas. A shaila which is a little more complicated. Shaila is more complicated, like I mentioned before. You have to have a personal Rav and speak to him on a personal basis. Because then I speak many times to the organizers of the these hotlines, which I'm a member of some of them, that we have to limit certain shilas which people ask. We should tell them, I'm sorry, the hotline is not made for this, and please go to your local rabbi. If you don't have a local rabbi, we'll try to set you up with a local rabbi. This is one of the things that's important. So I think which comes out of my discussion and again, I appreciate that you're giving me the forum to vent to my opinion on these matters. As far as birth control and family planning, a person has to make his shtadlus. If he's married, even though he's mekayim pru or vu, he should do as much as he can to have as many children as possible. When there's limitations, problems, difficulties, special situations, he should speak to a rav mumcha. Their rav mumcha will direct him what he should do.
Let me take away what I'm taking away from this, and you be my guia, because you're going to probably disagree. I'm saying that the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Aleph, Simen Ches, and Ebenezer says, Im yesh si beik biyadi, if you could afford it. And the Beis Shmuel says, why? He says, the Rambam and the Rosh say it's only a drabbanon berabal tanach yedech. He brings the riff, this exact lashon. Kasav a riff, a Rambam, Rosh midrabbanon who? The Kasav a Ramban, they in Kaifen I say, the loy takonahu, it's less than a takana even. Rav Shechter said it's a midas chasidus. Ela kein yishuv derech eretz. It's a yishuv derech eretz. Be'erev al tanach yedecha, if you've already had children. The ein machmirin olav kol kach. So he called it, it's a filu, it's not even a takana. Rav Moshe, in the tshuva that you mentioned, which is in Igros Moshe, and Ezechel Ligdalad Simen Lamed Beis, says that it's clear that if he brings him the Ramban, because it must be that the Beis Shmuel paskins like this Ramban, that it's only, it's not even a takan. I don't know what it is. Rav Herschel shall call the Midas Chasidus. And Rav Moshe Nigris Moshe, Chelik Dalad, Simen Ayin Dalad Ayiz Bez, says that regarding taking birth control pills, Rav Moshe says, Im Kfar Kiyum Pru Ravu, V'yesh Siba Kalkalit, there's an economic reason, Oy Siba Nechutza Acheres, then it would be Mutta. So Rav Moshe clearly paskins like the Aruch HaShulchan's understanding of the Shulchan Aruch im yesh sifik biyadei, and the lashon of the Aruch HaShulchan is shemakir ba'atzmei she'eni roi lahayud yisa isha ba'sponim imamadei maspik lefarnasam, which is Rav Moshe paskins the same way. Notwithstanding all above shitas, you're saying that there is a din that the Gemara brings ein ben David ba Achi Igmer called Lishamish Abaguf, Tai says that there's some type of a receptacle called Guf, and when all these Lishamas go down, so there's a Hashkafic Inyan, and it's not a light matter, notwithstanding the fact that, you know, it ain't Sipik Biyadai, you're saying there's such a big Hashkaf Inyan that it should certainly speak to a Moira Hira, because what you consider ain't Sipik Biyadai, the Moira Hira means, like, maybe you don't have to go wait to Pesach for hotel. Maybe that is called Sipik Biyadai Laparnasam. Maybe you don't need the newest Cadillac or Lexus or whatever. Maybe that is called Sipik Biyadai. So you're standing, notwithstanding the brittle reading of the Shulchan Aruch, hashkafically and halachically, there is much to debate as to what the intent of these Sfarim is. Is that an unfair...
Yes, you're summarizing in a very fine way that, again, a personal layman does not have the authority to decide on these issues himself. Rav Moshe writes, again, like I mentioned, one of the tshuvas, they have to speak to a Rav Mumcha, and it's not a question, maybe I should discuss with a Rav, not discuss with a Rav. It's a person who has to have a Rav. A Rav doesn't mean looking into Nigris Moshe, into an Aruch HaShulchan, or to any of the other wonderful Svarim which are available today. It means going to a Rav and discussing it with him personally, not on the telephone, and not that I heard, and not sending a shliach. So this is not a suggestion or recommendation, or it's a dinner, the way to deal with these issues. And again, I mentioned, and I agree with you, that there are certain situations where there would be heterim, and sometimes not only there'll be heterim, there'll be chiyuvim in order to use birth control under certain situations, but these things can be decided only after discussing the matter thoroughly with the authoritative Rav who can answer. No one has the right to answer themselves. No one has the right to look into Svarim and say this is a passing. That's not a Sela Chorav. It might be you can do your homework when you go to the Rav. You'll be able to be more you'll be more acquainted with the issues. You'll be able to discuss it with the Rav on a higher level. A person's Royal Kach, a person's a Talmud Chacham, the Ben Torah, Yeshiva Man. They can go to the Sugyas themselves, but the final decision is only by a Rav, an authoritative Rav, who'll hear all the facts and all the situation, and then he'll decide. No one has the right to decide himself.
As always, it's an honor and an interest having you on. Thank you very much for joining us. Hold on, good day. Bye-bye.